This episode is brought to you by Button Down, the easiest way to start, send, and grow your email newsletter.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Django Chat. I'm Will Vincent, joined by Carlton Gibson. Hello, Carlton.
Hello, Will.
And we're very pleased to have Kenya Phelps join us, who is a project manager at Cactus Group, software engineer, and was chair of DjangoCon US in Chicago this fall. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for having me, Carlton and Will.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. I'm excited.
So maybe you could tell us, how did you get into coding originally? Because you didn't study it in undergrad like the two of us.
No, I didn't.
I mean, we didn't study it either.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, like everyone's life was blown up, imploded during the COVID years. That is where I got into coding. I actually went to a coding boot camp. So I got into coding by way of coding boot camp. A little backstory, my sister Jeanette O'Brien, she went through Momentum Coding Boot Camp, which was located in Raleigh, North Carolina. She went through that and loved it and became an instructor. So it was impersonal. Like every time I had a tech question or anything, I would always reach out to my baby sister, Jeanette. And one day she's like, you know, you could do this boot camp. Like, I'm like, no, I couldn't. It took me 3 years to learn how to turn my computer on. And I'm definitely afraid of Mac Pro Books. So no. And she's like, no, you can do this. And it was more so she felt like she could teach anybody anything. So it was more of a challenge for her. And so I applied, and lo and behold, I got in. And it was like more of a 4-month intensive type, you know, 40 to 50 hour a week immersive training. Much to my surprise and delightment, if that's a word, I started picking it up really quickly, and I loved it. And so there was an opportunity for some fellowship work at Cactus. So I interviewed with some folks over there at the end of the program, and they decided, okay, let's try her out, you know, for a few months to see if it works out, you know, starting off as a junior developer. And I'm still here, so apparently it works out. It worked out. Okay. So it worked out. Yeah, I mean, in my previous life, I always gravitated. My career was more so in account management and sales support. So that's probably how. And in my mind, I wanted to be like a technical project manager. I wanted to manage projects. However, I wanted to have the technical, you know, prowess, if you will, to be able to deliver projects. So that I will say that was in the forefront of my mind during the boot camp, that I I wanted to learn how to develop, but I also wanted to actually be a technical project manager. And that's where
you're working now, right? As a project manager.
Yes. So that's what.
Mm-hmm. What appeals to you from the project management side versus, like, you know,
being the grunt? So I had to make the leap from account management to project management, because in account management, the reason that was my career is I love developing relationships. And I know it sounds cliche, but I am a problem solver. It probably doesn't sound cliche to you guys, because you developers, you like complex problems. You like to solve them. So seriously, being the oldest of 6 children, I kind of like, you know, it's like I wrangle it. I think it's just in my personality. The thing that I like most about the project management side of it is the technical project management side of it is that you can, that I am actually kind of like the middle man of the technical part and then the client and product. And I like having that context, being able to context switch from, okay, yeah, I know it might take us 3 3 weeks to write this code to, okay, you know what, let me corral this particular developer because he or she is not really filling this project. Those types of things, it's a challenge, but I like that. And, you know, one of the things that stood out.
So I'm always scared of speaking to the clients. I'm always like, you know, I like a good project manager who you know, acts as that shield between me and
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a superpower to not just enjoy it, but to do it, right? I mean,
yeah,
you probably suspected that before, but can feel it now, right? Like most developers have no desire to be project managers and are probably not great at it if they're put into that role. So to be open to it and to enjoy it and to fill in the technical thing that's a Venn diagram that's quite rare.
Yeah, it absolutely. My technical brain does not like to speak to clients, but when I put on my project manager hat, I am okay. You know, well, let's do this. You know, it's like, you know, I don't know if you can kind of compare it to Beyonce. She says when she's on stage, she's Sasha Fierce.
Yeah, I've heard
like
this.
Yes.
Even so I've heard Kenya this.
So when Kenya puts on her project management hat, she's like a Sasha Fierce, you know?
Yeah. What was I? I think a lot of like pop stars do that. Who was I? Sabrina Carpenter has like some name for her like alter ego. Cause a few, or maybe Tate McRae. I think it's like Tatiana. My daughter's all into her. So you can be shy and introverted. I don't know if Beyonce is, but adopt different personas depending on the context.
Oh yeah. Yes. It's 100%. That's me. Like, I'm not gonna, you know, if I was ever in a meeting with Carlton and Will talking tech and I would not be, you know, raising my hand to, you know, say this? No. But however, if you had a project that was kind of on the verge of running over budget or time, then I'm your girl. I am going to speak up loud and clear and we're going to get it done.
Well, I mean, Carlton's a good example of this, but I think, you know, the elder figures in the Django community all are not just humble, but they're very open about what they do and don't know. I don't see a lot of bragging in the way that some tech communities, not all, do. So I think it's very welcoming to, you know, hear Carlton, Jacob Kaplan-Moss, all these people just say, I don't know, you know, to, you know, of course they could. And as I've realized, and I'm sure you have too, the correct mindset is, well, I don't know, but of course I could figure it out. Right. Because nobody can keep all of this in our head. Right. That's sort of the challenge, though, in a way, is I feel like some domains you can kind of have a mental model of what you're doing. But coding is just so fractal that it's just impossible. It's more like you eventually have a mental map and you're like, I'm going to dive in and spend the time to learn how to do that thing. But I don't have to beat myself up because I can't remember anything.
Syntax, right? You know, I used to beat myself up in the beginning when I was learning, when I was Googling, oh, wait, what is the Git workflow again for the 230th time?
I still Google it. I mean, I still find that I will ask a question and find something I wrote because I phrased it, you know, just like that. And I'm God, like, oh man. Like, you know, 5 years ago, he had something going on.
And it's so weird that you say that, Will, because I remember, I think it was at PyCon when I first met you, I was carrying your book around.
Oh. Well, book, the first
Django
edition.
Professionals. Because I was at, it was PyCon, I think, last year, and I was actually doing some work too, and a couple of chapters were helping. It helped me to figure some things out, and it was just so funny that you were at I forget what sponsor it was, or you were at the booth, and somebody was like, called you Will Vincent. I was like, is that Will Vincent? I was like, I have your book.
Yeah.
And it just speaks to the accessibility too of the Django community, because here it is, I'm in some home office in Chicago, you know, fighting for my life, trying to figure this code out. referencing your book. And then 3 months later, I'm at a PyCon and you are the person who wrote the book and I have your book in there. It's just, you can't make this up. I was like, oh my God. I have never met you. So,
and I had that with Carlton. The very first DjangoCon I ever went to, I gave a talk on APIs and Carlton was in the audience. And, you know, to me, he was like Django fellow, Django REST framework co-maintainer, and came up to me after the talk, said some nice things, you know, gently corrected one or two things I said wrong. And
I don't know, correct.
Well, no, you did. I mean, you know, I think it was more syntactical than, anyways, did it in a very kind way, right? And so, yeah, I think, you know, so that's the model I have of like people are accessible, but also remembering like I was the same way. I mean, I learned how to code as an adult. I didn't have a boot camp. It was literally me in a room for 2 years. Pre-LLM, getting scared to put something on Stack Overflow and get lit up, you know. So, yeah, I've sort of carried that. Anyway, so I was just, you know, you telling your story, I think it's hard for, unless you've done it, it's hard to realize it takes a lot of courage to do a boot camp, to put yourself in a beginner position as an adult, right? When you're running projects and all of a sudden, you know, interviewing people and now you're interviewing for a individual contributor role, it takes, you know, it's, I think it's good for your soul, but it changes your perspective, right? To do that as an adult. A lot of people, I think, rightfully go, oh, I don't want to put myself
absolutely.
In that position because it's uncomfortable for sure.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And then I think about my experience and, you know, from, you know, I would say prior career life to now. And I kind of, you know, think about how other folks get to from point A to point B. And I really do feel lucky, blessed, because the folks that I've met along the way have been so generous, so just engaging, interesting, friendly, a joy to be around. And I want that for everybody. And not just in coding and learning how to program and technical, just period. Like in the work, like if you have to work, you know, because who wants to work? But if you have to, you know, why not have it be this type of environment? And that, and I've also, because I've heard horror stories and I'm like, oh my God, I just think about if that had been me, I don't think I could have continued. So I really feel the need, a strong need to pay it forward, because, you know, it has been a joy. And I know it's not always the case for everyone. So whatever little thing that I could do in my little corner of the internet, I am trying to do that, whatever I can do to pay it forward and help the next, you know, Django Knot, techie, whatever you want to call it, you know, a person who is changing careers later in life, you know, minorities who don't feel seen, or underrepresented people who don't feel seen, whatever I can do, because you're right. I have that perspective and it's just, yeah, something. It's huge.
Cactus is a nice place to land on your feet at, right?
Oh my God, yes, it is. So when I got the full-time permanent position, it was amazing because I really thought that, okay, you know, they had an onboarding program and I thought, you know, I'm going to learn a lot and then I'm going to be thrown to the wolves to try to find a job. But there were so many folks that took the time to pair program, show me the ropes, just be human, I guess it is. Like, I hate when the bar is that low, but but they are beautiful. Beautiful folks like Tobias, the founders, Tobias and Colin. They are so accessible. They are so much fun to work with. In my experience, I don't know if folks are out there that don't have that experience, experience with them, but it's a fun place to work. It was a nice place to land. Like I said, very blessed. And I just assumed that it would be a fellowship, but I'm here. That was in 2022. I'm still here. And we're still doing, still liking my job, still loving the I was going to say go into the office, but no, we don't have to go into the office. We do two or three times a year.
We have a nice office, though. I mean, I think the sprints for DjangoCon 23 and 24 were there. And I was like, well, you could get some work
done
in here.
Amazing office. Yeah.
Yeah.
We do an office week. We try to do it quarterly. Like, I'll be in Durham probably January or early February for a week. And I do feel like I've had remote jobs before, even before programming, and I feel more connected to the people, the folks that I work with, at Jane, at Cactus, even more so than folks that I went into the office every day. Like, there's something there. Like, we feel connected. So,
are there any things you do particularly as a team to stay connected remotely? Because it can, I mean, you know, getting together every so often is an obvious one, but are there, you know, in the day to day, are there things that really work, really help you?
I guess our stand-ups, we try to not overthink, and with our meetings and stand-ups and ceremonies and stuff like that. There, we try to make it meaningful. So a lot of times we have specific meetings for specific things. And I think the culture has been, since I've been here, has been open and honest. So I don't really feel like folks are afraid to speak up and, you know, have conversations where I just feel like when you have honest conversations, that it just fosters a deeper connection. So it's not just a ton of surface conversations. Like, you know, we are definitely digging into, because it's a smaller team now, so we have to, I always say, we have to stay efficient, because we don't have a lot of human resource, so to speak. We have a lot, tons of tech, software, whatever, but the people, we have to make sure that we nurture the folks, the people, because that's what's making this train stay on the track, in my opinion. So yeah, there's
the expensive thing, the thing that makes it work. It's
absolutely. So I think that, you know, we try to check in with each other. I can sense when folks are overwhelmed or, you know, might need a little something. Like, that's just that instinct that I have. Not patting myself on the back. It's just that I have that.
Not everyone has it in tech.
Yeah.
And I can say that with love.
And I think, too, because, you know, we have quite a few seniors on the team now. So I think sometimes they get bogged down, and because they're so brilliant. And I'm like, you know, come on, let's step back now. Let's
see,
talk
the forest,
about the human
not
side.
Get lost in the trees.
Yes. So,
yeah, it happens.
So, so that is a way that we try to stay connected. But definitely, when we have our in-office events, we're in that office that week working with each other. It's always funny. The first day is like so quiet, you can hear a pin drop. And it's like, when I work, if I'm writing code, I have to have my house music on and I have to have background. And then I always talk to my dog. Like, Graham is my coworker. So it's so weird that when I'm in the office, because it's just a different environment. Yeah. I'm like, okay, can I turn this music on, or is it going to bother someone? That's always funny.
It's when you get up and have to have a little dance. That's the worry.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I'm not by myself.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, that definitely happens. Yeah. Like, oh no. Social graces. What are these?
I mean, funny.
For a long time, I would, my wife could tell if I'd been like stuck on something for a while, because I would have like coding hair, because I would sit there just like this. And so I'd come out with like this wall of hair, and she's like, oh, you've been like, you know, stuck on something for a while. I was like, oh, I guess I have a tell.
Yes.
The wall haircut.
The folks who are in our lives, you know, like my husband, if he hears me say, yes, in my office, he'll be like, oh, she must have figured something out. Because I, every little thing, even to this day, like if I'm writing code, if I grab a couple of tickets, because, you know, I think I've told Tobias or Colin before, like, I am still going to pick up some low hanging fruit tickets because I didn't stress myself out for 2 years learning how to code, not to code again. So I'm right, always like, you know, so whenever I, you know, I'm figuring something out and he hears yes, he'll be like, oh, she must have figured something out, you know.
Well, did you find, I found this when learning to code, because I had come from, I guess, kind of managing. I was working in tech, but I was managing a team, doing operations and business stuff. And so you don't get like the dopamine hit of fixing a PR or fixing something and making it work, right? Whereas learning how to code, yeah, there's long periods of frustration, but like you do get that like, oh yeah, like I did something, you know? And I mean, you're doing something when you're managing a team, obviously, uh-huh. But it's a different kind of thing. It's less of a spike of, you know, oh, done, on to the next, right? It's more like... Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, keeping everyone happy. Yes. So anyways, that was really a nice feeling having come from a couple years of managing to then, yeah, just like, oh, I did this. Like, I got that. And yeah, I'm just saying that because I'm sure you could relate to that feeling too. That was one of the things that was sort of surprising. And I think that people who come from maybe an engineering background and then promoted into management, they go, oh, my God, like, I don't feel good because I don't get that feeling of completion that I had right when I was rolling my sleeves up and doing it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You got to keep your hand in as well, right? You can't just rust away.
Yeah, you want to stay a little sharp.
Oh, absolutely. I just picked up a ticket, I think a couple of weeks ago, and during stand up, I was asking for someone to review my PR. And I think it was Colin. He just right in the stand up, he went to it. I was like, excuse me, don't look at my code in front of everybody. And then he was like, oh, no, it looks good. And I was like, oh, my God, thank God. I mean, but yeah. That was the first time he'd ever did that. He was like, why are you? It's fine. But those types of things, because, you know, it's like, you know, no, I just want you to look at it. Don't share it until like, no. But it was funny because that actually happened. I think it was, yeah, it was yesterday or Friday. And, you know, just to quickly review my PR, write it in our stand up. I was like, I had to clutch my pearls. I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's sort of intimate to look at the code in front of other people. Like,
you're going to look at my drawing. No.
Yes, but it was fine. But those types of things, you know. And that goes back to, for me, with Cactus, because, you know, I've never felt, you know, every now and then I still have imposter syndrome. But one of the things that helps me, I have to say, is the place that I work. Tobias and Colin have both shared with me that, oh, I love working with you, Kenya, because you are, it's a new, you know, you have a new, you bring newer ways at looking at things. And, you know, they remember when they were learning, like you said, what you remember. And
yeah. Scarred.
Yeah. So yeah. Exactly. So when we did DjangoCon Europe, Tobias and I, we did something about we did a talk on pair programming, and at the time I was pair programming with the founder of the company, and I was still kind of junior, but it worked for us. He's my favorite person to pair program. Like I, some people are like, really? Like, he's a senior engineer. You know, Tobias, you know, Colin, but they are my favorite folks to pair program with because I learn so much. It's fun because it's always something like, you know, if we're doing a live share or we're working and I'll ask a question, and Colin was good with this. Like, I'd be like, well, do you think, you know, XYZ we should do? He was like, well, I don't know. Let's try it out. And I'm like, really? We could do that?
Yeah. Well, I think that's the thing. Like, they're learning too, right? I mean, because,
yes.
I mean, Carlos and I both have, you know, even I've mentored people, which is weird to say. There's the imposter syndrome, you know, and it's like they're kind of like, oh, my God, like you're doing something with me. I'm like, no, like you have interesting ideas. Like, honestly, like, and this one person in particular I mentored for a while, and eventually we kind of stopped because it got to the point where I was like, I don't know. Like, you're asking good questions. We're just going to both go, you know, she'd gotten the reps to, you know, kind of approach it like a senior person, which is to say, okay, I have this tapestry of kind of understanding, but yeah, I don't, you know, it's, you just get better at figuring stuff out. It's not that you know how to do a particular thing. Or, you know, again, the questions, like I still find it so interesting when people write good, you know, ask good questions, right? You know, or ask any question, right? If it comes from a place of like they're curious and they don't quite get it, you know, maybe it's something I've heard before, but sometimes it's a new angle on something and I have to reconsider, oh, maybe I could explain that thing better. Or maybe they have a real insight. Like, why do people do it that way? It's like, oh, I just sort of, it's ingrained that we just do it that way, but maybe there is a better way to do it. So I guess I would just say in pair programming situations, the senior person gets something out of it too. If you're the junior person, like, don't think they're just doing it for you. They're definitely getting something from it too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
This episode is brought to you by Buttondown. That's buttondown.com, email software for developers like you. There are hundreds of email marketing software services out there, and they all pretty much offer the same thing. Collect and clean addresses, send out broadcasts or drip campaigns, get analytics so you can see what's resonating and what's not. Buttondown is designed to hook into the tools that you already care about. Everything from static site generators like Jekyll or Hugo to payment platforms like Stripe and Memberful. You can hook your site up to Buttondown with just a form element or a simple REST call. Write emails in Markdown and then get on with the actual work you're supposed to do. New customers can save 50% off their first year with Buttondown using the coupon code Django. And if you email support, they'll white glove migrate your existing subscribers and archives for free.
I think that like this phenomenon, I think, is just what it is to be programming, right? You come to any problem. It's like, how are you going to solve it? Well, okay, you might know that, you know, if you've done it, if that kind of problem, you might know, well, we're going to use this, we're going to use that. But the actual details of it, every single time you're working it out, and that's the fun of it. So it's not like, you know, I'm working with the junior doesn't know and I do. It's like, we've got to discover the solution together. And
well, then that's the thing. I think that's the kind of like the major point I've tried to get across to people is like, this is what it feels like, you know, because when I was learning, I was like, I wonder what it feels like to be Carlton Gibson, you know, like, or, you know, and it's, in a sense, it's that feeling of like, okay, I have some understanding, but I don't know, like, I'm just constantly learning stuff and learning that it's okay to not know things and mm-hmm. approach it with an open mind. Again, like the strongest developers I've ever seen are the most quick to say, I don't know, but also like, let's go check it out, you yeah. know, right? Like somebody who, again, acts all braggy, which is pretty rare in Django, but it yeah. still happens in some communities. It's just such an obvious insecurity, I can yeah. say and see now, right? But when you're younger, you're like, oh my God, like, you know, it's scary, but it shouldn't
be.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
That's not yep. the attitude of a pro.
No. Like, and it was, it has been, you know, quite fulfilling when, you know, a Tobias or a Colin is like, I don't know, let's do this. Like, let's try it out. Like when I ask, can we, oh, I don't know, let's see. And it's just so refreshing. Like, okay, but won't that break the code? Like, they're like, we can fix it
code.
If it breaks.
Yeah.
It's just code. And they say that it's just code. And they're like, I would have never thought that way. So it's so refreshing to be, you know, to see, professionals, especially professionals further on in their career who are, you know, they're doing big things, to work side by side with them, and they have that attitude. It's amazing, because I don't know how many times it's like, let's see what Stack Overflow, or let's Google, or now, you know, let's see what the LLMs say. A lot of times the LLMs are wrong, but it's always
Stack Overflow.
It's always it's always fun. Like it's so many side quests. Like if you're working with, like, I'll pair with another developer, and then we laugh at the responses that we get, like, or the solutions is like, what? Like, Colin will be like, he'll put something in Slack and be like, or even Tobias, this is what I got. And we laugh at it. It's like, what? What's happening? But, you know, it is what it is. AI, I guess it's the wave of the future. I don't know.
Well, we've made it 30 minutes, so I can say something about AI, and I didn't bring it up for a change. But I'm just curious, what is kind of the workflow that I guess Cactus or you are seeing? Like, is there one, to the extent that you use AI and LLMs, have you all narrowed down on a tool set, a flow at all?
I mean, it's in the early stages. I will say that I think back when Tobias and I did DjangoCon Europe, Copilot was all the rage for pair programming. And I wasn't impressed. He wasn't impressed because, you know, my assessment was, it's okay if you are, if you know how to code, you know, if you know how to, you know, the syntax, you know, the language it's okay. That's what it's used for, to pair program to help you. But I feel like it was being marketed in the beginning, marketed to, oh, okay, you know what? You don't really have to know anything. Boom, vibe coding. I believe it was the beginning of vibe coding. And I had mentioned to Tobias, I don't think it's a good idea for junior folks or folks, maybe a senior. Yes. Fast forward, like, we do use some AI tools, more so, I think, the notebooks we like. Yeah, the Gemini notebooks for research and for PM work. I'm not going to lie. I like to use anything that helps me to work more effectively and to reduce my busy work. So I might use the polish my emails or some of the things like, okay, if I decide that I want to create a newsletter or some type of marketing thing, and I'm not the best in Canva or those types of software, I'll pop into their AI, you know, their agent, and see if I can get some nuggets to help out where I have, you know, where I have some gaps in knowledge, using it that way. But the whole, oh, I'm going to just pick up and my computer and I'm going to create an app and I don't know anything about coding. I'm going to vibe code an app. And then I'm not, some of the things we found yesterday, we found something that was a little strange. We think it's an AI made website kind of mirroring Cactus. So we were doing some research and we found this website and we're like, what is this? And it looks like, you know, it could have been created by AI. None of the folks on the website were real. We don't think. We looked it up. And it was just really like, trying to research and looking through stuff, different AI models, it's weird to me. I mean, I'm not poo-pooing AI, but I personally, where I am more passionate in AI about is just the bias in AI. So what I'm noticing more so, you know, in the greater scheme of things is it's easier to be very biased, politically correct, but I want to say, you know, racist, discriminatory, perpetuating stereotypes through AI. That to me is what I've been more focused on lately. and noticing, and that concerns me. Because how do we fix it? It's hard enough to get humans to come to the table and be and recognize, okay, I do have some bias. I do, you know, it's hard enough for that. But how are we going to go up against these computers now too? That's the thing. I won't say it's keeping me up at night, but it's definitely on my mind. Yes.
Well, and it's the same thing. I mean, early days of Google, I was just reading something about AI and something else talking about bias. And this won't shock you, but it shocked me that for the longest time, if you typed in black women into Google, the top result was not what it should have been. Because, mm-hmm. you know, so yes, the combination of the data itself, and then clearly there was no one at Google in a position of authority who was looking at that or cared about it. And so the philosopher would say humans are all the same, Carlton, right? It's just things are amplified in different ways.
These things are trained on the entire corpus of the internet. And if you crawl around the entire corpus of the internet, it's pretty racist. It's pretty sexist. It's pretty discriminatory. It's pretty, you know, full of nutjob beliefs. And no wonder they come out from the average machine, right? The average machine will spout back what it was trained on. And yeah, it is concerning. And of course, yeah.
And these days, Reddit is like the new Wikipedia. I mean, and I say that not totally joking. I mean, Carlton and I had this, right? We had this side comment where, yeah, it was your son, right? We were sharing Reddit
my
links.
Son was my son was defending the use of Reddit as a primary source. And I was like,
in a paper.
And he's like, no, it's the only thing that's reliable. Everything else is unreliable.
And I got to say, the more hopefully educated I am, the more I'm like, you know, Reddit, compared to like the New York Times, the Washington Post, to mention, I mean, I'm like, well, at least, I don't know, it's not so bad. It doesn't seem so bad compared to like, you know, anyways, we don't need to go in that direction, but
I'm not going to fight you on that because I'm a Reddit girl. So, yeah.
We should talk about Django Corner.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, so, to be solo chair, I mean, that's how did you get roped into doing it? Because I attended, and it was a great experience. But I can only imagine how much learning there was, how much work it was. And you've written a blog post we'll link to, right? The first in a 3-part series on Behind the Curtain. So I'll just mention those. There's a link to that.
So how did that happen? So after the first, I attended Django Con. Durham both years, and I was an organizer, and I think that I just as a he funny, I should submit a quote to bring a proposal to bring JangoCon to Chicago. And so Peter, he's like, you should. And I'm like, really? Okay, well, maybe. I was like, you think I could do it? He was like, Keena, you could do anything. I'm like, are you just saying that because you want a proposal? Like, I don't know. So I started, I took the weekend to mull it over, pulled together a couple of other folks and said, let's do this. So I went to work, boots on the ground, getting quotes, proposals for hotels and who could support. And I think it took me about 6 weeks to kind of pull something together, submitted the proposal, and Defna reached out and they were interested. And it took another couple of months before I locked it down because the Django community and Defna, I will say, it's a little bit persnickety. So there were a lot of things to work out, a lot of things to hash out. And so finally, you know, we signed the contract, and I think Tobias and Colin were at lunch with Peter, and he mentioned, do you think Kenya might want a chair? You know, and they said, oh, knowing Kenya, yeah, they asked if she would, you think she would be a good one? They were like, absolutely. He asked, and I said, yeah, I could do that. I think I could do it. And so, in the meetings, we started our week biweekly, then it turns to weekly organizing meetings, and I learned a lot. It's
well, it's project management in a way,
yes,
right?
I mean, it is 100% project management, and with such a human element to it because of the nature of DjangoCon and how, you know, we are crafting experiences. We want folks to feel included. We want folks to feel heard. So, you know, it's not just your average kind of conference. It's that human, that empathetic, the empathy element at DjangoCon. So that was the one thing that I was like, I have to make sure that is not, you know, ignored during, you know, when I was sharing. That was my whole main thing, that the empathy portion of it. So, but it was, yeah, that's how, and then I'm going to also be the chair for 2026. So,
yeah, because it's a 2 year,
generally.
A 2 year. And I do want to say, so it's Peter Grandstaff, right? From,
yes,
from T-Rock Software. I know we get a little insular here, but I want to give a shout out because Peter did huge amounts of work for the DjangoCons in Durham.
Yes. He is so generous with his time with, you know, supporting anything that he can do. He's a good teacher. Yeah. And then, yeah, Peter is awesome. Yeah. It's a lot of work. Like it. So we will start our monthly meeting for organizing in about February. And then, you know, we just start filling each other out. But then it gets around, you know, I think June. Maybe May, June, it starts ramping up and folks start, you know, pulling their hair out.
I mean, because it's so many things, right? There's just the financial side of like putting a lot of money down to reserve these places. And then the website, the talks, you know, reviewing. I mean, that's the least of it. The catering,
the programming. Yes.
Program.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And then doing all of that while still maintaining the feel of the conference. You know, people have an expectation when they're coming to DjangoCon. You know, the folks that have been to quite a few, they have that expectation that, you know, this is going to be a top tier experience, and you know, you want to make sure that you deliver on that every time.
Feel it. You can feel it. I mean, Even compared to a PyCon, and that's not just the size, and it's taking nothing away from PyCons, which have tons of volunteers as well. But yeah, DjangoCons are special. I think it comes through. I mean, yes. I was DjangoCon, the DjangoCon US in 2018 in San Diego, where I met Carlton. That was my first ever tech conference, like ever. Like I had, and so I'm totally anchored on that experience, you know? Overwhelmingly good, but also I didn't know anyone, you know, like I'd written these books, but I was just like alone and, you know, like I didn't know anyone. I knew no one. Right. And so I remember, you know, at like meal times and everything, I was just kind of like, you know, like, right. So that's also ingrained in me when I see people who are newer, like, yeah, like that was exactly me. Right. Like I had no idea about anything, right? And it was so welcoming, you know, and it's meant to be, but it can be because the size also is conducive to that. Whereas, you know, then the next year I went to a PyCon, which was in Cleveland in 2019, and it was like 3,000-4,000 people. And you couldn't possibly recreate that even if you had all the other elements, right? It's just too massive.
I agree.
Been to one, you can feel it. And this is kind of where it comes from. It's the blood, sweat, and tears.
Absolutely. So DjangoCon Durham, I can't remember what year. That was my first ever tech conference. And it was
23 probably.
Yeah. 23, it was 2023 was, and it was awesome because I thought I would be intimidated. Like my whole thought process of what a tech conference is, you're thinking, oh, all of these, you know, geniuses, brilliant folks,
all
writing
these Carltons,
everybody, like, you know. And then one year I got to actually sit on a panel with Carlton. I was like, imagine that. But yeah, I was like, it was, so I'm spoiled. I always say that DjangoCon spoiled me because since in my career, I have been to other tech conferences. I won't name names, but they're nothing like nothing at all. It's a different people, it's a different vibe, it's a different everything. So it's like, oh, you know, you go to these and then you want to run back to Django because it's like a warm blanket. I was like, oh, it's like, oh, that was it. Yeah, okay, I want to go to Django Kai now.
That's exactly well, it.
And I think Chicago, I know this from the organizer side, Chicago is kind of perfectly placed in that it's international airport. It's not quite as expensive as, you know, Boston, New York, San Francisco. It's also, people want to go there, right? It's a it's a huge city, right? So
that's what we heard. So like,
checks a lot of boxes. Well, you would know. I think more people, despite everything, went to Chicago than made it to Durham, I believe, right?
I think there was. So we thought because of the climate, the political climate, that we would see it drop, that we would see participation drop. For visas and stuff like that. But I was told at the end, it was successful. It was, if you want to measure success and, you know, folks come in a small profit or whatever, you know, but yeah, people like Chicago. And the thing about it too is I'm born and raised in Chicago. I was born there too.
Evanston, Evanston Hospital.
Oh, Evanston. Yes.
Yeah. We moved when I was four, though, so I don't really have any memories.
Oh, I live about 10 minutes away from Evanston. Like, I'm in the north. I'm on the north side. I love Evanston. But yeah, I am born, raised Chicago, and I love Chicago. So basically, like, I had to make sure that folks had what they needed. Like, you know, if you need me to create some type of experience in Chicago, I wanted to do it for everybody, literally. Like,
and the timing's perfect, right? Like, the weather in September, I mean, it was like 70 most days.
Yes.
Not a lot of wind, not a lot of cold.
Yes.
It's such a striking city. I mean, at night, right? It feels almost like, I don't know, like Blade Runner or something, right? Yeah. Walking along. Like, I have all these photos because there's these huge, massive skyscrapers and the river. Yes. And yeah, and then the weather was just perfect. Like, it was, which is not always in Chicago, we can say.
Oh, no, it is.
But in the fall, it's pretty nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because it's like 20 below zero now. But and so I think Peter and or a couple of folks are like, we should do it. They were like, oh, let's push it out. Like, I think it was an October date. I was like, absolutely not. We need to stay in this particular time because
September's good.
September is good. August might be too hot. September is the sweet spot. You want to, you know, let's not mess around with Mother Nature because she can be very moody in Chicago.
Yeah, no, the weather really was perfect. It was perfect. I was going to say last year, this year. God, it was only 2 months ago, 3 months ago. Feels like.
Yeah, it seems like last year, doesn't
ago.
It?
Have you recovered yet, Ginya?
Yes. Have you been able, as a chair, are you able to? I mean, obviously, you can't fully recover, but you do get a little bit of build up the reserves for the next time.
It did take me a couple of months to kind of like work, you know, emotionally, mentally, physically, to kind of like, okay, I'm back. All right. So I'm good. I'll be at my fighting weight, I like to say, when we start again in the beginning of 2026, I'll be good. It energizes me. I really, the fact that it's Django Con, I love the people, I love the community. You know, Django, obviously, that's where I shine at writing, you know, in code and programming and development. So there's that. And then to introduce people that I like to my city is amazing. I had so many side quests during DjangoCon. Like, folks I just met then, they were like, oh, you want to go do this in Chicago? Sure. You want to go? You know, like, I felt like, you know, I wanted to be like a personal host to everybody. And because of the size of DjangoCon, I was able to do that. So I was very, I felt good to do that.
Yeah. Well, it's also, I think when visitors come to your city, you see it through their eyes. Like, oh yeah, like I've never done that. Or, I haven't done that for years. Like, I should go, you know, it's the same way with, like, I'm here in Boston. Like, I'm just outside of Boston. There's so many things I just wouldn't do because I've done them, you know, like, and someone comes into town, like Carlton came to visit at one point, and I was like, oh, yeah, like, we can, there's like all this cool stuff we could do that I haven't done in forever either. But to see it through your eyes, I would totally do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Pete Folks was like, let's go to the Bean. I'm like, oh, I can't remember the last time I went to the Bean. And
what's the Bean?
The Bean, it's like the big bean that it's a landmark, or I hadn't been. It's a huge draw. And it was so funny because they were like, how do we get to the Bean, Kim? I was like, I don't know. I just live here.
Yeah.
I don't know how to get to the Bean. And so, but it's a tourist destination. Folks want to take photos. We took up a ton of photos. Bartek took a ton of beautiful photos there.
Oh,
but
yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, like Cloud Gate? Oh, yeah, yeah, the Bean.
Yeah.
Cloud Gate. You know what? Where the heck is... You know, I didn't make it to that. We'll put a link. Well, I'll have to make it next fall.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. I didn't even make it to the art museum, which I was... I know, because I made it to the water every morning, and then I just didn't make it. And because my parents used to, you know, as one does, they take the train, and they worked right near there. And my mom used to go there during her lunch breaks to like de-stress from her corporate job. So she would just go and stare at the art for like 20 minutes, and that was like her routine. So I was like, I'm going to do some of that. And then I didn't make it.
See, I mean, and folks are always like, oh, you remember that the art museum in that movie? With Ferris Bueller, I'm like, yeah, it's right down there, okay?
Yeah.
Like, you can go to the art museum.
Chicago, I mean, Chicago's legit an amazing city, and especially in September, it shows its best side. And
yes.
I'm going to try to build in a little more time.
I hope you do.
Next year, because I was sort of in and out. And hopefully I won't give a 45-minute talk. I'll do a shorter one.
I mean, hopefully you...
I'll do a talk. I have a talk.
As the chair, I'm like, hopefully you will do a 45-minute but as a host to Chicago, I hope that you... Yes, of course.
Well, we'll see. I can say here, I'm scheming. So I already have submitted for... I think, it just closed for PyCon US. A talk on Python web development, modern Python web development. So I want to touch upon... Django, but also Fast API, but more just do kind of a high level, this is what's the same, this is what's maybe a little bit different, because I find that it's so easy to get lost in the specifics of like this petless, you know, AWS this, Heroku, whatever that, but like 80, 90% of it is the same.
Okay.
And so anyways, it's a constant question that beginners have, or people who just, like most people, I think most people don't do deployments very often. Is the thing, right? Because if you're in a company, it's like someone set it up and you just do it. Or if you're a newcomer, you know, so that it's like it's not done enough to warrant the attention that it deserves. We're just talking about deployment, Carlton. I'm saying my talk topic for next year is going to be around deployments. And I think it's a combination of like senior people don't have to touch it because it's already built up from scratch. Mm-hmm. And then beginners get overwhelmed with the platform differences when most of it is kind of the same. Anyways, I have opinions. So I'm just going to that's my talk.
Oh, well, that sounds interesting.
We'll see the shorter, the long version. I'm thinking the short version, but unlike this past year where I gave this AI talk, which was super fun to do, but I didn't know really anything about what it was going to be. And I had like three new repos and I definitely overdid it a little bit. So maybe I could do 45 minutes on a topic I know about sort of.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about doing a talk too, but I was like, can I pull that off with being, you know, the chair and giving a talk? Because I really do, my thought is to do a talk around, you know, the bias in AI, but I don't know I don't know what that looks like. And I don't know if I'll have the energy, the stamina to do it. So I'm going to probably ruminate over that. During Christmas break, you know, I'm going to think about it a little more, you know, if I'm going to do, it would be nice to do a talk.
I think you should do it. I mean, one of my colleagues at JetBrains, Michelle Frost, she's on the AI front and she's gives lots of talks and that's what she's all about is kind of bias and inclusion, exclusion in these things. I think it's, yeah, it's very relevant because a lot of people don't think about it, but as soon as you mention it, they go, oh yeah, that's a thing. But then, oh, this is how that has repercussions that impact everyone, regardless of who you are.
Yes. That's so important.
Either you're living with it every day and you're like, yeah, or even if you're not, you're like, oh, huh, yes, that should be elevated a little bit in importance.
Yes, that's the thing, because I want folks, because it doesn't, you don't know how detrimental it is if it doesn't affect you, and then what it looks like, you know. Now, I'm not trying to, divide anything, the races or anything like that. It's just, it needs to be pointed out and needs to be intentional too. So like, I wanted to just folks to kind of just take a pause and look. I'm not asking, oh no, we got to get rid of AI, but let's think this through, folks. Yeah.
It could be a panel too, if you don't want to have to do the slides.
Ah, yeah, that's a good idea.
I mean, a panel of people who could speak. Yeah, to just throwing ideas out there.
Good idea.
We JetBrains is doing a Python event in March, and there's gonna be a pilot in Amsterdam. There's gonna be a PyLadies panel, and this cracks me up. In the interest of diversity, I'm gonna chair it because it's all women. So I'm like, wow, like I can be the diversity person.
Oh,
like,
my God,
let's go. but they're gonna talk about various topics, and yeah, it's nothing better than people who, anyways, another option other than a talk, but that would be.
Cool.
I know. Cool, Carlton, cool. We were just discussing things while you took a brief sojourn with.
Yeah, no, well, my electricity fluctuated. The internet went down and it took a while to come back. And I was like, oh, no, maybe it's not coming back, but it did come back. So, I'm glad you held the fort while I was away.
We're coming up on time. We've asked you a lot of questions. Is there anything you wanted to mention or we should have asked you about?
Is there.
We're looking forward to your blog post, so we'll put a link to it. So on the So the first one was being chair, and then I think the next one is about being an attendee to chair.
Yes,
is that right?
Yes, and
that's
then,
something only a few people can write about.
Yes. And so, like I said, there were a lot of ideas and quotes and thoughts and things. So I'm like, oh, this blog is turning into a small novel. I need to pare this down.
Yeah. And it's on the, we should give a shout out on the Cactus blog, which has other authors as well. And there's a lot of good stuff.
Absolutely.
On there.
Yes. So, we do a lot of blogging. Actually, if folks are interested, you can see kind of our, I don't know what you would call it, just how what we're doing lately, our blueprint. Yeah. Like, I think Colin is working on some LLMs and he's blogging about that. And it's a lot of fun. So, yeah, folks need to check out our blogs. I know that every now and then we get, like, I might see a post on LinkedIn and somebody is talking about a blog that either a colleague from Cactus or Tobias or Colin wrote 6 or 7 years ago. And they're always so surprised that people are still referring to their blogs from 6, 7 years or 10 years ago. They're always so surprised.
I mean, a lot of stuff is a lot more evergreen than you think.
And it always tickles me.
Well, and if people don't know, Carlton, you have the Stack Report. You have your own regular writings. In fact, I'm the only one who's not writing these days of the three of us. I got to fix that.
Well, you need to get back to it, Will. You need to.
I know. Yes. But I'm enjoying your writings too, Carlton, which some are free and some are paid. So speaking of which, you have one should be coming out, right? You're due a monthly.
Yeah, one to finish the end of the year.
Yes. I like your writings, Carlton. It makes, I'm like, I understand what this guy is saying, and it makes me feel so good that I understand what you're saying.
Well, it shouldn't be confusing. Like, if it's confusing, it's poorly explained, right?
Oh, my God. I'm always, like, just stoked that I'm like, wait a minute. I know what he's talking about. Yay!
Oh, you're making me blush now. I'm sorry. Glad you enjoyed it.
But it's so true. Like, it really is. I think I had the same sentiment to you too, Will. Like, your books were easy. Like, you know, I have my Python books and, you know, when I was learning how to code. And then when I got your first, I think it was Django for API. I think I bought that first. But I was like, oh, my God, I should have got this a year ago. Because it answered a lot of, it was like, it's so like, okay, yes, I understand this concept. I understand the syntax. So yes, it's all, whenever I'm reading stuff that is just clear to me, you have no idea. It's just so amazing. Because there's so much stuff out there that looks like, you know, Greek, no pun, like it looks like Greek to me. I'm like, I don't know.
Mm. So, well, and if you find a voice that you resonate with, right, it's like, oh, now I can trust this person, right? And that's what I keep, like, everything I do, I'm like, if I found this confusing, someone else will. And maybe I'm not the best person to explain it to them, but some people will find it interesting. And same thing, right? Like, I read everything Carlton does. Like, you find a person. And I do think, I mean, among content creators, there's definitely a little bit of an Eeyore, the sky is falling, everything's being commoditized by AI thing. But I think at the same time, like actually having trust and a voice is more important and valuable than ever. You know, okay, how do you reach people? But like you can tell if you're trying to do something. Like you can, like you read Carlton stuff, AI is not going to write that. Even if, and I've tried, even if I like give it all Carlton's writing and tell it to write like Carlton, like it's not going to write like Carlton. Mm-mm. But even if it did, I don't trust it. And I trust Carlton. Right.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
I think,
The context and the trust still lives within humans. And like, that's the thing that I hold on to regardless. You know, there might be some AI that's helping me do my busy work. But I mean, that human connection, you can't teach a computer empathy and accountability. So, not ever. It won't happen.
Not an LLM. Not an LLM. Little empathy filter. Slide it.
Are we doing the second extra episode now on the
empathy stamp? Teacher.
Well, let's not go down that rabbit hole. Carlton, is there anything you wanted to add as we wrap up?
No. I mean, I feel I've missed a bit the exciting middle bit there, but no, I think it's been a good chat. I think I haven't got anything left on my list. Are we doing a project or a book?
Lax here, so we didn't mention this at all to you, but we've informally done trying to mention a project in a book. I don't have a, actually, I do have a project. I don't have a project. I have a book. And again, apologies, we didn't even mention this in the notes or anything. Unless you have one, I'm gonna stump for. I'll go first. This book, Until the End of Time by Brian Greene. I need to buy, I'm going to give this to you in March when I see you, Carlton. So Brian Greene is this theoretical physicist. He's written a bunch of other books. This is really like a philosophy book. This is sort of a, and I don't want to make this sound boring, but it's sort of like a older person just being like, why does anything kind of exist? And, it's really hard to do justice to how much I loved this book. And you can't see. I've marked up so much stuff. It's a combination of like remembering like how physics and chemistry and biology and math all are just shades of the same thing. And he's clearly grappling with just being kind of an older person thinking about mortality. It's just a beautiful, beautiful book of a eminent theoretical physicist just thinking deep thoughts. And I don't know how he made it interesting, I'll be honest, but it's so good.
That's intriguing.
I mean, and he just makes these like offhand just about how chemistry is just, you know, like the periodic table is just like, well, it's just like an extra, oh God, I'm gonna get it wrong, you know, electron here or there. And I don't know. He just has these like, there's so much good stuff in the book. It came out a couple years ago. I think it sold okay, but I think it, Carlton, I've been telling you about this book for a while, right?
You have. When you picked it up, I was like, oh, that's the one Will keeps telling me to read.
Yeah. Anyways, Until the End of Time. Highly recommend. Carlton, do you have one?
Okay, I've got a project and a book. So, you know, I did the homework. So the project I'm going to recommend is called Django Cron Task, which is from Johannes Morant, who goes by the name Coding Joe. You should go to his GitHub. He's got several projects, Django Pictures, an S3 file upload, which is a nice little widget. He maintains the Django Select 2 integration. But this is like a cron-style scheduler for the new Django Tasks framework. So if you need periodic tasks or scheduled tasks and you want to use new Django tasks, then you've got this add-on which gives you the scheduled tasks which aren't part of the core package now. So that's my project. I think that's a really nice
addition. Django Cron Task, you said?
Cron Task.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll put it in the chat there for you, Will. But check out, go click through to his other projects. He's been a member of the Django community for a long time, and he's got some other really good projects that are really worth checking out. So that's my project for the week. And then for a book, I'm going to recommend this one, which is new from Manning. It's 2025. It's fresh out. It's called Just Use Postgres. And it's
about
all
these books.
The things that
like
Postgres
he actually reads these like soup. Like, I aspire. I'm not quite. Go ahead. It's an inspiration.
Wait, like I keep getting told I'm going to be made unemployed by these LLMs that know more than me. So I've just I've got to learn faster than the LLMs. But it talks about, you know, so it's got a first section on, the foundations of SQL to like things like window expression or common table expressions, window expressions, recursive queries, etc. Indexes, all those things that perhaps you think you should know, but then maybe don't. But then it goes on to JSON fields, full text search, extensions, using Postgres for generative AI, time series.
Can you hold it up one more time?
Geospatial data.
Just use, okay, I just want to, right. It just came out, right? It just came out last month.
It's fresh off the press. It's only been out so it's bang up to date. And it's like, you know, if you're using Django, then you're almost certainly using Postgres. And there's these advanced Postgres features that you've kind of heard of, but you're not 100% sure how they work. It's a great book. I really, 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 you know, recommend you get it, stick it on your desk, flick through it every so often.
I'm looking over. I still have some other books you recommended that I bought that I haven't read. But as you've said, buying it is 90% of it, right?
You don't have to read them. You buy them, you look at them, and then occasionally you flick through them when you feel guilty.
Well, so no pressure unless you already had something prepared, because we didn't mention this at all to you.
I don't have anything prepared other than as far as projects, if folks want to submit a proposal to bring DjangoCon to their city in 2027, 2028, the CFP is still open. That would be amazing, you know, that we're still looking for cities to represent. So,
and they could come to Chicago and talk to you and others and get a firsthand guide to.
Yes. Yes. And also, too, I am going to be at the PG Data Conference in 2026. It's also going to be in Chicago. It's taking place June 4th through the 5th. Proposals, CFPs are open. That's something that I am. Cactus is actually a sponsor and a sponsor of that. So that's just a project. Oh, yeah.
Posted by Prairie Postgres. Is that like the Midwest Postgres?
Yes. So if you like data, you know, we like data. So, you know, that'd be a fun little conference for folks to attend.
All right.
I think, I don't have any, I'm not reading anything lately.
I know.
Which is weird. I had just talked to my husband, too. I was like, I need a book. You know, it's been at least 8-9 months since I read something. But I don't know.
Carlton, go on then. You're always reading fiction, too.
I'm reading some terrible, not terrible, they're wonderful, actually. Some fantasy novels by a guy called Joe Abercrombie. So he wrote a trilogy called the First Law Trilogy, and this is the follow-up. This is the second one in a follow-up trilogy whose name I'm sure it has. Okay. But Joe Abercrombie,
because I'm into Welcome to Derry, Stephen
What's
King.
That? Oh, okay.
So the show, but... obviously he has a ton of books and stuff. Like, I'm like, and I'm not, I love Stephen King. Like, I really, really like Stephen King. And I'm like, maybe I should go back and read some of, because I've read so many of his books. But I just finished up the Welcome to Derry series.
You know, if you go to google.com and type in Welcome to Derry, there's a really cool little custom thing.
Oh, is
there's
it?
Like a, there's like a little red balloon that pops up on the screen, which I've never seen before. Yeah. on Google.
Yeah. Frightening.
On the search results. It's like, okay. Yes, that was kind of cool. I was like,
Yeah, I just finished it. Yeah, it was a really good series. And I was impressed. Stephen King doesn't disappoint, but sometimes folks don't get his works. Like when they switch it over to like the big screen or movies. Like his books are amazing to me. Like, but they're doing a good job. But Welcome to Derry. Love it.
Mm-hmm. I'll check that out.
I'll check
that
out.
Well, we could keep chatting, but I think we're at time now. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for being a chair. Thank you for being part of our community, right? Because I'll say this, like Carlton, I feel like we've been waiting for the new wave to come in for a while now. And, you know, you're tip of the spear of this new wave that's bringing new perspective, new energy, like everything. So it's really wonderful to see.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. It's been so much fun chatting with you two. I love what you do. I appreciate being included in this group, this motley crew, I like to call.
Yeah, very.
I love it. I'm always looking out for your works. I appreciate everything you do. Thank you so much.
So DjangoChat.com and on YouTube, and we'll see everyone in 2026. Bye-bye.
This episode was brought to you by Button Down, the easiest way to start, send, and grow your email newsletter.